goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
It's time for the Soul of Excellence.
He is a radio host at 77 WABC here in New York.
The Rush Hour is on the air.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
And my friends, welcome. It is Monday. That means it's time for the Monday edition of Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour here on WABC. If you would like to be on the program today, 800-848-WABC is the number to reach us. And we look forward to hearing from you, 800-848-9222. The news is overflowing. There is disappointment in many quarters, especially, Adam is probably crying. What's his name? Keith Ellison was on Al Sharpton's show on PMSNBC. I only mention it because I know nobody watches. I'm just MSNBC problems, NBC. You just heard the mayor. They're having a hissy fit over there because they hired Rona McPhail. And you would think that it's, I've never seen anything like the reaction from F. Chuck Todd. That's what Rush used to call him, F. Chuck Todd. And some of the others over there, Morning Joe belligerently, well, we're not going to invite her on our show. How would anybody know? Nobody watches. What difference does it make if you don't have her on your show, Joe? And some of the others. But the Trump news has been overflowing. Keith Ellison was on with Al Sharpton on PMSNBC. They were all, salivating over the prospect that today Trump would have property of his liquidated. And lo and behold, the tears must be flowing because the appellate court, as you know, in New York, as you may know, ruled that they will take a far smaller bond, $175 million, not this outrageous almost $500 million that New York, Letitia James and this Judge Engoron wanted. The appeal could take months to resolve, but in the meantime, he has 10 days, Donald Trump, to secure the bond. He already said he's going to abide by that decision, post either a bond from an outside company or put up the money himself. Wah, wah, wah. Liberals so upset they're not going to have a chance to do a communist-style takeover of Donald Trump's properties. Wah, wah, wah. Meanwhile, another court ruled that the trial that should not be happening, this dumb hush money trial, can go ahead. Tax day, April 15th, will be the beginning of the criminal trial. Donald Trump's efforts to move that back did not succeed today. Letitia James had a statement about not being able to grab Donald Trump's property like a good old communist. Donald Trump is still facing accountability for his staggering fraud. The staggering fraud is this case. And I can't wait for the day, if our justice system still delivers real justice, that this whole thing is thrown out and hopefully Letitia James and her political persecution is called out by the legal system. Anxious to see what you have to say about it. I could go into all the details of the case, but I'm giving you the broad strokes on it because there's other news out here to deal with. We can talk about any of those cases that you want to, any of the Trump cases. New Jersey dodged a bullet, by the way. Let me get to a little local news. The wife of New Jersey Governor Murphy says she's not going to pursue this run that she had for the Senate. She doesn't want to squander resources. The real truth of the matter is politicians don't quit when they're winning. She didn't have a chance. The voters in New Jersey did not want her. The political elites, of course, trying to suck up to the governor over there in New Jersey, a lot of them endorsed her. But the polling showed that the voters were not interested in her at all. So she has withdrawn her name, Mrs. Murphy, and New Jersey dodges a bullet. Now, in other news, there's a lot of political news out here. Some of it international news. Russia. What to say about the Russians? Have you, Diego, by the way, had a party. I'm putting your business in the street. Diego, these parties that Diego has, this is his first one, they go on blast to the upper elite in New York. These are the most hard to get to invitations. It's the social thing in New York. If you ever get an invitation to a Diego party, you have arrived. I understand that there were people asking from the wealthy enclaves of Malibu in California down to Palm Beach, also in Vail, all trying to get an invite to Diego's party. And he turned a lot of them down. But Diego is the man. And so if you ever, ever get an invite to a Diego party, you have arrived. But Diego, did you see any of the footage of these guys that committed this horrible, horrible massacre? And right now, which I'm still unsure because the numbers keep going up from the people, it is well over 120 people that were killed. Have you seen the images of the four that were captured, these ISIS paid for terrorists?
I have not. I've only heard about it.
Russia is not hiding. No one in Russia is hiding the fact that they tortured these guys. This is like, yeah, we're going to torture them. We're torturing them in front of cameras. Okay, beating one of them senseless. And there were reports over the weekend that one of them had his genital area shocked with electricity. That has got to hurt. They appeared in court. No one even made any attempt to clean them up. Swollen face, beat up. They were beat down. And there is something is missing from this story. Rich, can you imagine what's missing from this story of the ISIS prisoners being beaten down and tortured? No. TJ, just yell. What's missing from this story? I'll tell you what's missing, because I'm your host. What's missing is the international outrage over torture. I take those of you who have memories back, and some of you listeners will remember this. Remember when Bush 43... after the terrorist attacks on America that killed thousands, we declared war. And we also went over there to Iraq to take care of Saddam because Saddam was posturing that he had weapons of mass destruction and he was going to do this, he was going to do that. So we sent our military to take care of business. There was a prison over there called Abu Ghraib. And the collective left all around the world had a several months long hissy fit claiming that American soldiers were torturing these poor terrorists from Al-Qaeda. Ring any bells? What was the torture? Supposedly, we were keeping the poor terrorists from sleeping. Sleep deprivation. Then, one American woman, soldier, or I think it was a woman if memory serves me right, if not, doesn't matter. Somebody put panties, made some of these guys dress up in panties and put panties on their heads. And we heard about this for months, how awful under George W. Bush things had become in the United States military that we would dare torture these poor terrorists. How dare we play loud music and keep them awake at night? How dare we keep them from their peaceful sleep after they slaughtered American citizens and tried to destroy cultural landmarks like the World Trade Center in New York, and took innocent lives by the thousands. How dare we do this kind of behavior? There was condemnation from Europe. There was condemnation from all corners of the liberal free world. The United States is awful. Here you have Russia. They're not hiding it. They put it on camera. Them beating these terrorists down. We have reports. There's a report today in the Daily Mail that Russia has, in fact, with other terrorists, forced them to rape each other and do all sorts of horrible things. They come to court, swollen faces. They have been beaten. And what do you hear from the international community? What do you hear from American liberals? Crickets. Absolutely nothing. You see, the issue was never torture. The issue was, let's find a way to blame America and to disparage the American military. That's what happened back when George Bush was in office, and that is what is not happening now with Vladimir Putin and his gang of, how shall we call them, vigilante soldiers. Not one word, not one iota of a newscast from any of the, where's the BBC? They were in full outrage mode. Where's Al Jazeera? They were in full outrage mode. All the networks here went on and on and on about it. CBS had, I think it was CBS, 60 Minutes, I believe, actually interviewed a guy from the CIA, and he was just up front. Yeah, we kept him from going to sleep. Yeah, we did things. Oh, and waterboarding. That was the one that they had a cow over. Because we waterboarded, apparently, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of 9/11. Do you know where Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is right now?
I do not, no.
He's still sitting down there in Club Gitmo.
Oh, really?
Yes. We have not even brought him to trial. We are 23 years after 9/11, and he has not even been brought to trial. Because, and the reason that these weaklings in our own Justice Department say we can't try some of these terrorists, well, you know, we tortured them, and therefore we waterboarded him, and therefore he might get off. This is what the United States has become. Run by this woke liberalism that we can't even punish the mastermind of the deadliest terror attack in United States history. And you contrast that with the way Russia, they're in court already, beaten up, tortured, but they're in court. Less than a week, less than a half a week after this deadly event, they're in court. And by the way, they are not going to have a good time in jail. America. America. 1972. 3 weeks at number one. On this day with their, I believe this was their debut single. It was. A Horse with No Name. On WABC Talk Radio 77. 800-848-WABC. Your call is welcome.
Handling legal legal matters is stressful. So let the law offices of Frank Bruno Jr. provide you with the insightful counsel you deserve. The law offices of Frank Bruno Jr. has successfully handled thousands of cases for 25 plus years. They focus on elder law and estate planning, but are equipped to navigate you through all stages of family law and divorce to real estate law and probate. The law offices of Frank Bruno. Call 718-418-5000 or visit them at frankbrunolaw.com. That's frankbrunolaw.com. Frank Bruno. He's your numero uno.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is The Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
Birthday today. Reginald Dwight. Known to the world as Sir Elton John. So many hits, it would probably take us a half an hour to go through them all. Sir Elton John. I think fair to say, icon in music doesn't even begin.
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily hide. I don't have much money, but...
On WABC Talk Radio 77 in New York. Oh, man, this is Kiki D and Elton. Every time I do this, I have to, of course, say, produced by the genius Tom Bell. Yeah. Okay, Israel. The White House says they're perplexed after Benjamin Netanyahu canceled an Israeli diplomatic trip to Washington. Why did Netanyahu cancel it? Because the United States abstained from a resolution calling for a ceasefire. Let's stop picking on the terrorists over there who kill the Israelis because it's Ramadan. And, you know, we shouldn't be hurting the terrorists when it's Ramadan, says the Biden administration. United States abstained today from a United Nations resolution that demanded a ceasefire of the conflict between Israel and Hamas, as well as the release of all hostages taken captive by Hamas. With that abstention, the United Nations Security Council passed the ceasefire resolution. Passed it. The UN is now demanding that Israel stop taking out Hamas, thanks to the United States. John Kirby, Joe Biden's national security communications advisor, we're kind of perplexed by this. Why the Israelis would cancel this diplomatic trip here? Why? Because you're showing them exactly what I've been telling you, ladies and gentlemen, for a few weeks now. Biden administration talks out of both sides of their mouth. They claim that they support Israel, when in fact Chuck U. Schumer and the Democrats have made it clear that they don't care about Israeli security. They care about 2024 votes in this country. That is what is driving all of this. Israel has been thrown under the bus by the Biden administration because the protesters, the anti-Israeli, pro-Hamas, pro-terrorism protesters in the Democrat Party have raised such a stink during the primary season here that Joe Biden and the Democrats are afraid. They are afraid that their protesters are going to ensure Joe Biden will not have a second term. And that is why Israel must go under the bus, and the administration is doing all that they can to keep mouthing support for Israel while at the same time trying to appease their pro-Hamas Democrat Party base. That's what's really going on here. Again, We can discuss it. I want to also get to other news in this brief time that we have. Lisa Murkowski says that she is not going to get behind Donald Trump. She wishes that the Republicans had a nominee that she could get behind. She's also leaving it dangling whether she will stay a Republican. And for me, I would like to know what we can do to encourage Lisa Murkowski, Alaska Senator, to just leave and join the Democrats. There is another Senate worry in Maryland. Larry Hogan, the former governor, is leading the Senate race down there. Larry is virulently an anti-Trumper, can't stand Donald Trump. Okay, the Republicans might pick up a seat in Maryland. But they had another problem over the weekend. One of their fairhead boys used a racial slur. His name is David Trone. He was at a congressional hearing last week. He's a congressman. He's running for the Senate. And he made some remark and used the term, and this is a quote from him. This is not a term from me, because you keep hearing about this racial slur that he used. What did he say? He says he confused some word, whatever it was, the word jigaboo came out of his mouth. And oh boy, all heck has broken loose. Five Black House Democrats immediately endorsed one of his opponents. Her name is Angela Also Brooks. She's running for the Senate. She barely stood a chance before all this happened in the Democrats. But now, all of a sudden, she's getting a lot of attention. Already, this Senate race in Maryland has cost $29 million for the Democrats. This is a heck of a race that's going on down there. He's a wealthy businessman. He said, oops, I'm sorry. I don't know how that word came to my mouth, but it did come in my mouth. And I apologize. I had it confused with something else. For a change, Democrats aren't buying it. So let's keep our eye on that one. He wanted to say bugaboo. Instead, yeah, didn't work out well. I'd just love to see some campaign. Hey, bugaboo. I could have some fun in that race. All right. Oh, England Dan. Why are we playing this one, Diego?
We are playing this one because, sadly, on this day in 2009, Dan Seals from England Dan and John Ford Coley die. They scored the 1976 U.S. number 2 and U.K. number 26 single with I'd Really Love to See You Tonight, which is this. Honestly, one of my favorite songs by them, too.
It is such a beautiful song.
Oh, yeah.
And it never gets old.
Never gets old.
Time to check in with Kim Komando on WABC, Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. If you're on the phone, stay on the phones. Coming to your call shortly.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
The Rush Hour is on the air. Attention Ditto Heads. Attention Bo Scouts.
Rush.
On the Red Apple Podcast Network.
The year was 1963. Johnny Cash recorded a June Carter Merrill Kilgore song.
It's a burning thing
this one.
And it makes a fiery ring.
This song was originally recorded by June's sister Anita Carter.
Bound by wild desire.
Johnny Cash said he had a dream where he heard this song accompanied by Mexican trumpets. This became Johnny Cash's biggest hit ever.
And it burns.
Stayed on top of the charts number one for 7 weeks. Gotta love it. All right, we're going to get to your calls. Yes, I want to hear what you have to say about a number of things. Let me get through a few other stories really quickly. U.S. Senator Bill Hagerty. They're marking up an appropriations bill in the Senate. They still have more money to spend. They've only spent, what is it, $2.1 trillion? They still have more of your money to spend. So they're working on another appropriations bill. He offered an amendment. He's on the Senate Appropriations Committee. What was his amendment? His amendment would ban the use of your tax dollars to fly illegal immigrants into U.S. towns and cities, often in the dead of night, like they fly them into, like they were flying them into Westchester Airport. Here's the rub, folks. Not one Democrat voted for this ban. Every Democrat that voted to keep spending your tax dollars to fly illegal immigrants all over the United States, very often in secret. Okay, just thought you'd want to know. The owner of Junior's Restaurant says life in New York City is the worst it's ever been. This is Junior's, has been around for three generations. They've seen it all in New York. He says, this is not cheesecake. The product of New York City needs to be polished. It needs smoothing over. It needs a little shine. You need to change the narrative, change reality. We need the city to deliver a better product. He's concerned about the safety of his workers when they leave their jobs at night. His own daughter was assaulted in a random attack in Bushwick last summer. He says this city's lax on crime laws, cashless bail, all this stuff. Declaring New York a sanctuary city, all of it has led to the decline here. Oh, I have to find this story. It's in one of my, here it is. This doesn't impact you yet. Every time these stories come up, I mention them. Here's the headline. California, fast food change, the chains out there, the fast food, you know, the McDonald's, the Mickey D's, all those places that sell you the stuff, here's your food, all those places. They're getting rid of workers. Why? They're slashing workers as the $20 an hour minimum wage comes into effect. California restaurants are reportedly laying off staff, reducing hours for other team members in an effort to cut costs ahead of California state law that takes effect April 1st that will raise fast food workers' hourly wage to $20 an hour. This always happens. Democrats, liberals, we need a living wage. We need a higher minimum wage. Let's make it $20 an hour for fast food. Okay, they made it $20 an hour. And you know what? The people that actually run these businesses said, we can't afford to pay $20 an hour. We're already dealing with inflation. So, who goes? The delivery guys go first. Already, Pizza Hut, Round Table Pizza, they own 400 pizza parlors, mostly on the West Coast. They're going to lay off 1,280 delivery drivers this year. Your job, bye. gone. And that's not all. They're going to cut costs because they have to cut costs. Who gets hurt? The very people that these Democrats and liberals claim that they want to help. Unemployment line. This is what happens when you elect Democrats. This is what happens when they put their feel good. It's all emotional. Oh, yeah, we need a living wage. No one should have to work for less than $20 an hour. Okay, you want to make a $20 minimum wage? You lose your job. And, of course, there will be no accountability to any of the people who voted for this nonsense. Now, some of my staff looks at me like I'm a mean person. Well, don't you want these people to have $20 an hour jobs?
Alternative is, I guess, working multiple jobs for less. Multiple hours, say 80 hours
a week. If you can find it.
If you can't even find it.
Right. But, Diego, here's the thing that people don't understand. Look, I understand the emotion behind this. Why, yes, people deserve. No, they don't deserve anything. Oh, you sound so mean. No, the marketplace should be setting the salary. Lower skilled work means that there are so many people that can do low skilled work. Everybody can't walk in here and do what you do, and you do it very well.
Oh, I thank you. I don't think you're being mean, by the way.
Okay, good. Thank you. And so people that have higher skills get paid more. That's a fact of life. You want to flip burgers? That's all you're equipped to do? Okay, you're not going to make that much money doing that. That's why people used to use those as entry-level jobs. I'm going to get in. I'm going to work my way through school. I'm going to improve my skills. And then I'm going to go out and demand more money. Now you have people saying they should make enough money to raise a family on entry-level jobs. But that's not the way business works. You want to charge me, make me pay? Besides that, there's something else that most people never think of. That $20 an hour means that that's not what they're paying the employee. They're paying more than that. Because they also have to pay Social Security benefits. They also have to pay Medicare, Medicaid. They also have to pay whatever state law they're coming up with. Do you know, most employees don't know this, that their employees, their employers are actually paying whatever your salary is, add another third of that onto it. And that's what it really costs to hire you. Because of what the employers have to pay to the government to employ you. So you know what? Yeah, keep going with this $20. Next it'll be $25, $25, $50. Just drive yourself out of business, why don't you? All right, let's get to some calls. Let us start with Sandra in New Jersey. Hi, Sandra. Welcome. You're on WABC.
Oh, thank you, James. Thank you so much. James, I wanted to mention two things. One, a question or a comment I would say about Rona Donald Trump.
Okay, we have a horrible phone line. Sandra, we have, for some reason, the phone line is terrible. It's losing almost everything. So I'm going to put you on hold. Let's see whether we can clear up your line. Okay? Robert in Brooklyn, New York. You're up next. Got to make it quick. We're coming up on a break.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Well, as you pointed out, the Biden administration again shafted Israel. They did not veto the ceasefire resolution. They're also cutting off munitions to Israel, military supplies. And I suggest that if the Republicans are serious, they get someone like Ina Vernikov or Duff Hyken to run against Hakeem Jeffries and Yvette Clark. We need the House. And the other thing is Mike Gallagher. That Republican says he wants to leave on April 19th. The problem is that there won't be a special election to fill the seat. He's a Republican who's stabbing all of us in the back, a total rhino. Because as it was pointed out, that if you don't have it by the, if you have to leave before the first Tuesday in April, he's a Republican out of Wisconsin. And if he's going to wait till April 19th, we lose another seat and we're in danger of losing the House. And these people, they don't even want to certify Trump if he wins the election. So this is outrageous. These anti-Semitic Democrats, these traitorous Republicans, these rhinos, and they screwed Israel again in the United Nations Security Council. And Biden did not veto it. Shame on Schumer, Biden. And I don't hear Hakeem Jeffries, leader, the minority leader, speaking out. Where are they? They're horrible. They're terrible.
Thank you for the call. Princess Di had an amazing theory on this Saturday show about what's going on with these retirements. I do not have the time to do it right now, but during the week we will revisit Princess Di's theory on why we're getting so many Republican retirements right now. Olena in New Jersey, you are up next. Got to make it quick.
Thank you so much for taking my call. You mentioned what the GRU and the Russians are doing to the prisoners that they just captured. Well, you can only imagine what they were doing to the people in Ukraine when they attacked them in their own Ukrainian land. But anyway, the liberalism in America, it is absolutely atrocious. And most Americans don't realize that that behavior in Russia comes with liberalism and communism. The GRU's got it all planned.
Boom. Thank you for the call. Time for us to check in, ladies and gentlemen, with Lou Dobbs. Now, this day, 1983, Motown had its 25th anniversary. Televised concert in Pasadena. Supremes, Stevie Wonder, Temptations, Four Tops, Martha Reeves, Junior Walker, The Commodores, Marvin Gaye, Smokey Robinson, The Jackson 5. But do you know what happened on that show?
Yes, I do.
What happened?
Mr. Michael Jackson became Michael Jackson. That's what happened.
Michael Jackson busted out the moonwalk on that show, and Diego, you said it beautifully. Michael Jackson became Michael Jackson on that show. Boom!
Absolutely.
Great way
historic.
To explain. Totally historic.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing. But guess what? I saw the clip of the guy that originally did the moonwalk about 20 years earlier.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I gotta dig it out again. Michael studied everybody that danced. Somebody had done that move. He saw it, he picked it up, and perfected it. Okay, we gotta check in. Who's in for Lou Dobbs?
It is Mr. Ryan Lang in for Lou Dobbs today.
Let's check it out.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
Long live the Queen. Birthday today, heavenly, of course, for the Queen of Soul, Miss Aretha Franklin. 1967, burst onto the scene with this one, an Otis Redding song. Recorded by Otis Redding, but not with the success that Aretha would bring to it. Written by Don Covey. Reed. Out of Detroit.
James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, presents Rapid Phones.
Hold it just 1 minute. We found it. The guy's name that first did the moonwalk, you can Google it. It comes at the end of the clip. The first moonwalk, his name was Bill Bailey, a tap dancer. 1955, he performed at the Apollo Theater here in New York. At the end of his performance, he moonwalks off stage. And you can see how Michael perfected this, but it was clearly the moonwalk. So there it is. His name was Bill Bailey. Tap dancer and musician. Okay, let's head back to the telephones. Sandra is back from New Jersey. Make your point, Sandra. Hope the line is cleaned up.
Oh, no, that was my fault, James. I apologize. I'm not going to...
No worries.
Okay. Anyway, I wanted to talk about, real quick, Rona Daniels and then Donald Trump real quick. Rona Daniels she did okay at the RNC. She didn't really do that great. So she was in her own environment. Now she goes into MSNBC, which I will say is a hostile environment. And why do I say that? For example, Joe Scarborough and Mika said they raised their voices to their bosses saying she will not be welcome on my show. So I say to myself, is it good that she's there? I thought hopefully she's going to try to bring the parties together. So I think this is a wait and see thing. I don't know if it's going to happen because of what I said. I think it's she put herself in the place, but maybe it might be the right thing. So, and then I wanted to say about Donald Trump, when I saw his 370-acre Seven Spring Estate, the golf course, oh my God, it was the most gorgeous thing I ever saw. And that Letitia James, she better leave her grubby hands off all his properties. Like they say, those are his babies.
Well, here's the thing. Democrats have been salivating. They have lists of which properties they want her to go after. Now, for the Rona thing, Rona got on NBC, Meet the Depressed, and backtracked on almost everything she said while she was at the the RNC. That's faux pas, the DNC. Yeah, but you know what? It doesn't matter to me. You have Chuck Todd, Joe Scarborough. The thing about them that gets me, you have F. Chuck Todd mansplaining to his boss why her hire is no good. The woman's name is Blumenstein. She is so much more an accomplished journalist than he will ever be. Yet he thinks he ought to dictate to her. I tell you what, had this been the day, the Chet Huntley, David Brinkley days, been fired. Bernie in Staten Island, you got to go, oops. 15 seconds, 20 seconds, make it count, Bernie.
If we applied the torture to the genitalia that the Russians applied to the person who killed the nurse, a college student in Georgia, the hordes of illegitimates would see.
That's what time we have for you. We got some of that. We leave off with Aretha. Oh, my gosh. You picked the one. May God bless and protect each and every single one of you, your families, your loved ones. Love and gratitude for your being here with me and allowing me to be with you. Back tomorrow, God willing, for Bo Snurley's Rush Hour, the Tuesday edition. Until then, my friends, bye.
Sing it!